Well, let's stand together. We'll reverence God's word as we read together and give you a moment to stretch. I'll have you out of here in less than 2 hours, all right? I'm kidding. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. The Bible said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." We know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the Bible says. And this morning, as she just sang about, we've come by the way of the cross. There is no other way. If you plan on making it to heaven one day, and I hope you do, there's but one way. There's not multitudes of ways. There's not an escape route. You can't climb your way in. You can't probe through a window. You got to come through the front door of heaven to get there. And the front door, Jesus said, "I am the door." And so if you go to heaven, you're going to have to come by the way of the cross. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, the message of the cross. And sadly, we're living in days when churches and preachers in our country and around the world have gotten away from this message, the message of the cross. And they have said, and even taken it out of the psalm books, it said it's too bloody, it's too gory of a story. And may I remind you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we can't get away from the cross of Christ. We can't get away from the blood that saves. We can't get away from that day 2,000 plus years ago when Jesus came and Jesus gave His life and gave His body to the smiters and gave His beard to be plucked and gave His all and said, "It is finished," and He shed His blood that we could be saved. And so this morning, I, along with the Apostle Paul, want to go back and travel back to that day when Jesus hanged on the cross. And listen, that message that Paul was speaking and preaching about, that was his focus. That message was his ministry, the ministry and the message of the cross. The cross is not outdated. The cross has not lost an ounce of its power. If you get saved, you will have to come by the way of the cross. And so this morning, I want to return to Calvary just for a few minutes and try to grasp the message of the cross. Number one, I want to look at the preaching of the cross. Paul said it right there in the text that we read, that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that don't believe, but it's the power of God to those of us that are saved. And so the preaching of the cross, number one, it's a strange message. I'll give you that. I mean, who would have ever come up with such a thing that the God of heaven would leave His home on high and come down to common man and live in this world that He created and then die on a cross? That's a strange that's a strange thing that only God in His infinite wisdom could have come up with. Say, why is it strange? Well, think about it. There should be life coming out of death. That don't make sense. That Jews were looking for the Messiah who would... Listen, these Jews, they had been for thousands of years looking for the Messiah. They had been praying for the Messiah to come. And so when Jesus came, they didn't recognize Him as the Messiah. Why? Because it was a strange tactic. It was a strange way that God decided to do it. They was looking for a Messiah that would come, that would overthrow the Roman Empire who had them in bondage. They were looking for a king to come and rule and reign with a rod of iron and take them out of their captivity. But Jesus came meek and lowly. Jesus came with his face set like a flint toward Calvary. He was headed for the cross, and they did not understand that, and it was a strange message to them. And yet today is still a strange message to this world. People don't understand and can't comprehend why God would want to come and die on a cross. They totally missed the fact that their Messiah would be the one who would suffer for the sins of the world. Listen to what the Bible said in Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. The message was a strange one. And he prophesied it would be that way. The message of the bloody cross of Jesus is still a strange message in our day and hour. Those who have never experienced the life-changing power of the cross, it's incomprehensible to them. They don't understand it. And neither did we. We may have been raised in church and heard about the cross, but until that day when you bowed the knee to the man who hung on the tree and gave his life as a ransom for all, you didn't fully comprehend the cross. I knew what it was in my mind, but until that day it became a reality in my heart, where old things passed away and behold, all things become new. That's when I understood the power of the cross. As strange as it was and as strange as it is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible said to them, it is foolishness. That word foolishness comes from the same word we get our word moron. To the lost people, people who've never been saved, the idea of trusting a suffering, bleeding man for salvation is moronic. It's foolish. It don't make sense. But may I remind you what the Bible has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I'm saying there is no other way. As strange as it may sound, as foolish as it may be to the lost and dying world, Jesus and the way of the cross leads home. Not only was it a message that seemed silly, but it was also a shocking message. It was strange, but it was shocking. A brutal and awful death was experienced on the cross. The death of Christ, that Christ died on the cross, was one of absolute torture. You and I cannot begin to imagine what Jesus went through on the cross. We cannot, listen, we've read about it, we've heard songs sang about it, we've heard preachers preach about it, we've heard Sunday school teachers teach about it, but we cannot fathom beyond our wildest imagination what the gravity that Jesus, the pathos of Calvary, the pain and the agony that he went through physically, not to mention emotionally and spiritually, to be separated from the Father for the first time ever. But just let me remind us and refresh our memory about the terrible price he paid when he suffered that day. He was scourged, the Bible said in Matthew 27:26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I'm not going to stay here long, but I do need to mention, this was not, Misty and Chastity, a whooping like we got growing up. It may felt like a scourging when they would, Grandma would walk us in a line, I'll cut the blood out of you. Y'all remember that? It felt like a scourging, but this was so much deeper. They took a cat of nine tails. They took a long piece of leather that had rocks and glass and heavy metal balls, and they would whip the back of that prisoner and that criminal, and they would have his back stretched over like tight as a drum, and as that cat of nine tails would hit the back, and the metal ball would penetrate, and the glass and the shards would pierce the skin and rip it off the very back. And we're not talking about a criminal. We're not talking about a murderer or a thief. We're not talking about the two malefactors that were crucified beside him. We're talking about the Lamb of God, the Son of God, that came for no other reason than to take away the sin of the world. And this is before Calvary. This is before the cross. They ripped the Bible. Listen, historians say you could see all of his organs before they ever hung him on the tree. He was scourged for you and for me. And then he was beaten. The Bible said in Luke 22, verse 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy who it is that smote thee. That word smote means to literally beat black and blue. After his back was torn off, they took and blindfolded him and mocked him, and they would punch him and hit him and mar his face, and his visage was so bad that they couldn't even recognize him. And then they would say, if you, God, tell us who hit you. He could have named their name. He could have named their mom and daddy's name. He could have named what they did yesterday and what they were going to do tomorrow. But he was God, and he come in humility, meek and lowly, and he took the beating. He took my beating, and he took your beating so that he could offer salvation full and free. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was spat upon. Matthew 27, verse 30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And then they plucked his beard. Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair, and I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for me. And here it is, get this. That's what he did for you while you were at your worst, when you'd cuss his name, when you had drank your way to hell, when you had smoked your dope, and when you'd cuss his name and hate him and mock him. While we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were at our worst, he was at his best. And they spat upon him and mocked him. Matthew 27, 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers and the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns on his head, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, mocking the one who could put them in hell. And he took it as a sheep who opened not his mouth, led to the slaughter. The Bible said they reviled him, and he reviled not again. And then they stripped him naked, as we just read. Then that's all before the cross. Then they nailed him to a cross. Then they crucified him. Matthew 27, 38, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. John 20, verse 25, the other disciple therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. That was, we know, Thomas, after he was crucified. That's just a verse letting us know that he had nail-pierced hands. And I'm not talking about a little nail. I mean spikes. They drove through, penetrating the very arteries and veins and the parts of his arm that would send shocking waves down through the nervous system. And then they planted his feet together and drove that through his feet. And they crucified him. And there he hanged, none other than the Lamb of God hanging there for me and for you. Could not breathe. Those who hung on the cross, they died from asphyxiation. They died because they could not breathe. You remember his back is torn apart. You remember the nails. You remember his face is beaten. His beard is ripped and plucked out. Spit is drilling from his face. And there he has to pull himself up just to get a gasp of breath and fall back down and let those nails pierce him, then pull on him. And once again, and for hour after hour after hour, he was doing that with you and with me on his mind. Whoever wrote the song, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind," wrote a true song. This method of death could take up to days. Baking out in the hot sun. And there Jesus hangs, being crucified. And these truths don't even begin to surface all that Jesus suffered for me and for you. Isaiah 52 verse 14, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Jesus, you remember there in Gethsemane, before he was to go to the cross, he knew what was awaiting him. And he bowed down and he asked his disciples, "Come and pray with me and watch with me." And Jesus bowed down there in Gethsemane, knowing where he was heading, knowing the pain and the agony that he was headed for. And he said, "Father, if there's any way, let this cup, this bitter cup, pass from me." Because he looked down in the cup and saw my sin, saw your sins and the sins of the world. And it was going to separate him from his Father for the first time ever. God the Father was going to turn his back on his Son. Remember Jesus hanging on the cross? Said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I'll tell you why God forsook him. So that he'd never have to forsake you. Jesus said, Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Everybody in this room this morning ought to thank God that he said, "Nevertheless." I know what I'm facing. I know what I'm headed for. Nevertheless, not my will, but I've got a world to save. These people in Packlet that I'm going to die for their sins to save their souls. These people I love so much, I'm willing to go through it all that they don't have to burn in hell one day. And I'll take their hell so they can have my heaven. That's what Jesus done as he was hanging on the cross. To hear the details of Christ's death on the cross is disturbing. But it's necessary and it must be proclaimed. Because it's this message and this message alone that will save the sinner nearest hell. There's only one way to get to God, and that's the way of the cross. There is no salvation apart from faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So not only was it a shocking message and a strange message, but it was a simple message. Think about it. not clouded by demands and details, but delivered in simplicity and clarity. One of the problems with modern churches and modern theology is that we have tried to attach too many things to salvation. You don't have to do this, this, and this. It ain't a three-step program. It ain't, you got to do this and then do that and then you'll be ready. No, he said, come just as you are. Call on me and I'll in no wise cast you away. Come to me. Call on me. Admit you a sinner and repent of what you are, not what you've done. Listen, I told somebody this week. You ain't going to hell for drinking a beer. You ain't going to hell for smoking a joint. You ain't going to hell for having some illicit relationship and committing adultery or fornication. You'll go to hell because you rejected what happened on the cross of Calvary. I can't believe people spat in his face. You're spitting in his face for him to pay a price like that and not come to him and receive that payment. You're saying the cross was worthless and pointless. It's a simple message, so simple a child can understand it. My wife got saved at what? 6 years old. Been saved ever since. It's been said that salvation is so shallow a baby could swim in it, and so deep it could drown an elephant. And that's the truth. God made it so simple for you to go to heaven. It ain't hard, it ain't complicated, it ain't complex, it's simple. Just simply with childlike faith, say yes to Jesus. Admit to him who you are. Not what you've done. Listen, he hung on the cross to pay for what you've done. That your sins are paid for. So you ain't going to hell for what you've done or what you're going to do. You go to hell for who you reject, and you go to heaven for who you receive. And his name is Jesus. So I ain't good enough. When I get cleaned up, when I get ready, hey, that day will never come. You better come while God's sending a message to you. When God's speaking to you, because he said, there'll come a day when you'll come crying to me and pleading with me and begging me. And God said, I'll laugh at your calamity and I'll have nothing to do with you. You say, I'll get saved when I want to. No, you won't. You'll get saved when he calls on you, or you won't get saved. That Bible's full of places Jesus only passed by one time. And this could be your one personal message from the Lord himself calling your name, saying, come. You better come while you can, because you'll never point a finger at God and say, I didn't understand. No, I made it very clear and simple this morning. This ain't hard to understand. I'll tell you what's hard. It ain't hard to comprehend. It ain't hard to understand. You know what's hard? Is to push your pride aside and come and get humble before God and get honest with yourself and realize, I'm not fit for heaven. I deserve hell. I know me. I know what I deserve. But I'm going to come to him just as I am and say, Lord, I can't, but you did, and I believe what you did for me, and I'm going to receive that. That's how simple it is. That ain't hard. But you got to push that pride away, because you ain't going to get to heaven lying to yourself or lying to God, because he knows. Listen how simple it is. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You want your sins forgiven? You want your name written in heaven? You want to know when you put your head on your pillow tonight that you are at peace with God? And that the condemnation that already abides on you and over you has been removed, and that you're clean before God and you have a mansion waiting for you in heaven and your family and all of eternity. then confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who He said He was and did what He said He did, and He will save you. And it's that simple. Amen. Strange message, yeah. Yes, strange to a lot of people. But it's so simple, don't trip over it and go to hell. It's right in front of you. The Bible says salvation is nigh thee. It's right there. Just reach out and grab it. I close this, and I ain't got time to preach it. But not only the preaching of the cross, but the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross was about making a statement. God was making a statement to the world that He loves you. He could have sent an angel. He could have sent 10,000. God could have done it any way He wanted to, but by the cross and the method and the message of the cross, the meaning of that, the purpose of that was to let the world know how much He loves you. Everybody knows this verse and can quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, that's the message. That's the simple, straightforward, honest message. The purpose of the cross was God making a statement. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared out of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Romans 5:6, the Bible said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Listen, for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross is God's statement of love to the world. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But not only is it a statement of His love, but it's about providing salvation. That's what the cross is about. The Bible tells us there's no other way to cleanse sin but through the sacrifice of the innocent for the guilty. I'm done preaching. You've heard enough of the gospel already this morning to save the world. Everybody look up here at me. You'll never be able to point your finger at God and say, I didn't know. All I can do is deliver the mail. All I can do is share the message. All I can do is herald the message. And it's landed in your lap. And the Bible says where much is given, much is required. And you will stand before God one day with what you've heard. So the question this morning, with head bows and eyes closed, I want you to stand with me.